Good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, as we've said already. It's been so good, hasn't it, to have some glimpses of sunshine this week, even if normal service has resumed out there this morning. Apparently, for us in the south of England, we've experienced the wettest February on record. But the good news is, as we go into spring, we get a minute of extra daylight each day. I wonder what your favourite season is. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Is it anybody who actually favourite season is winter? Are there any people fans of winter? There's a few. There's always a few who love being inside, snuggling up by the fire, maybe. Let's work backwards. What about autumn? Anybody's favourite season? That's a few. Yeah, the crisp leaves of autumn, the colours. I can see that. Who votes for summer? Who's a summer person? Yeah, I thought that'd be popular. Okay. And then we're coming to spring. So whose favourite season is spring? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm a fan. I love spring too. And for me, it's the signs, the flowers budding, the birds singing. It kind of fills me with hope. And this morning, as Andy's already said, we're going to be looking at our teaching series in Matthew, the King and His Kingdom, and some of the signs of that kingdom. And so I find these signs of spring a bit of a rescue. We live, it's been said, in a world that frazzles the soul on a daily basis. It's not just the pace of modern life, but actually for many of us, it's the pain and sickness around us. So I'm a teacher, and some of the stories of families I've encountered over the years are really heartbreaking. And if you work with people in any context, I'm sure you'll agree as well. And for all of us then, there's pain in this life. Maybe it's personal illness, maybe a job loss, accidents, or death. And a high percentage of us in this room and around us will have experienced at least one traumatic event in our lives. And as humans then, we have this tension, don't we? On one hand, we're really resilient, but actually on the other hand, we're also incredibly fragile people. And some of these traumas that we walk through have been linked to all kinds of things, physical illness as well as mental health difficulties. And then if we're to zoom out onto a global scale, how do we even begin to make sense of things like the conflict that's going on in Ukraine or the war in Gaza? And whether you have faith or not, most people would agree that actually something has gone wrong with the world we live in. You know, we are broken people living in a broken world. And if I'm being honest, my response to some of that brokenness is just to seek some relief sometimes. To check out. Television is relief. A bar of chocolate is relief. Or a cold beer at the end of the day. But it never satisfies. What I need is restoration. And this is exactly what the words in Psalm 23, King David, that famous psalm, were saying. God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He's there speaking about the healing power of beauty. And coming back to it, that's why I love spring, those signs of future restoration. Because Christianity has declared that into this broken world of ours, God has entered. So we're tracking along with the gospel writer Matthew. He placed his trust in Jesus because of the signs and miracles that he witnessed, and then how his life was changed. And he points us forward to a final day of restoration when everything will be made new. For now, though, we live in this tension. Sometimes my faith doesn't feel big enough to respond to some of those struggles around me. I bet you felt that way too. Maybe you've prayed and you've prayed and you've been left disappointed and doubtful. Perhaps you've not seen that breakthrough that you imagined. The likelihood is it'll take a miracle then from God to break into your family or friend's life. Or perhaps you've been battling this addiction, this character defect for so long that you've resigned yourself to saying this is just the way life is. So certainly, it's easy to give up, to feel despondent. However, Jesus himself said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." So this morning, let's go up the mountaintop again and read from Matthew and be reminded of a sign of the kingdom. So in Matthew 15, and verse 29 unfolds with Jesus departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon. It says, verse 29, "Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down." Just going to pause there. How many people around the room have walked up a mountain? Let's see a show of hands again. Okay, it's a few. Right, let's include the South Downs in that. Pleasant Mountain. How many people have now walked up a mountain? There's a few more. Okay, that's good. I don't know about you. I cannot think of a better place just to pause and to gather my thoughts than a mountain. So I expect perspective. When I gaze at the view of a mountain, something about the majesty of creation reminds me that God is so much bigger. It draws my heart to him. And in Scripture, mountaintops are always those moments as well when God reveals something about him. There's always a sign that something's about to happen. And so as we read on in verse 30, "Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, and the crippled, the mute and many others, and they laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel." Let's consider those verses. Based on that verse, I want you to just turn to the person next to you. What then is God like? Have a quick conversation. Great. So, maybe compassionate, merciful healer. Maybe just a couple of phrases you may have come up with. And so, at the heart then of Jesus' ministry is his deep compassion. He doesn't turn away from the cries of the afflicted, but he embraces people with his love. And so in the middle of this hurting and broken world, Jesus offers healing and restoration. I wonder how God has restored elements of your life. I wonder how you've participated with God in that. I know he has in me. When I accepted Christ at 19, there was a shift. Something changed inside of me. Choices that I made changed. I know for me, areas that I was running from, I pushed down, I allowed up. And if you've been a Christian for any number of years, you can likely talk about God's sanctifying work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, enabling us to experience more joy, more peace, more patience, and more kindness. We're not perfect. I still get anxious. I still get tripped up on struggles, and I fall short on a daily basis. However, for me, there's an emotional wholeness, a connection with my Heavenly Father, and I'm invited to walk with him and to participate in intimacy with him. And so in our verse, the crowds went up the mountain to see a person, Jesus. Today, we don't need to make an appointment to go and find a person. The Holy Spirit now lives in us, and he wants us to come to him and bring our everyday big things and our small things to him. And so those that were in pain were laid at Jesus' feet. In the same way, we're invited to lay down our pains at his feet today, to participate with him and to experience his healing presence. And so as Andy said, some of you might be wrestling with the question, is Jesus still our healer today? Let's be reminded then of the truth that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Scripture teaches us God is all-loving, all-powerful. As a kind God, he preferred people to be healthy rather than sick. He still heals today according to his grace and wisdom and mercy, and invites us to come to faith to seek his healing for us and others. One of the best ways to recognize this is by honoring when he does. And so sharing that word a minute ago, a supernatural word that Martin explained a minute ago. So I want to share a couple of stories of God's healing power. And so the first one is going to be from Lynn.
10 years ago, I was diagnosed with inflammatory arthritis, which is a horrible condition. It affected all my joints all over my body. I had a lot of inflammation. It affected my hands, my shoulders, back, you name it. I was in pain. And it made life really uncomfortable. I felt like I was disabled. It was just a horrible, horrible thing to happen to somebody that was very active. Then in 2008, King's Church was running an Empower conference, and I got prayed for. I immediately felt my mobility was like vastly improved, probably I would say about 70%. I remember waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh my goodness, the pain is so much less. And by the morning, I just couldn't wait to get up. I was like, yay, I felt fantastic. And my doctor just at the time just could not believe the difference. So that was 8 years ago, and I've not had any problems with the arthritis since, which has been amazing. So now that means that since then I've been able to dance, I've been able to do the gardening, and yeah, just even hold a paintbrush now without my hands hurting. So I just really thank God for giving me my life back.
We've got lots of stories on the King's website of people who testify to how prayer has produced healing in their lives. I'm going to invite David up as well. David's going to share us a story about a healing that happened to one of his family members. And so, David, I know when I'm talking to you and Maureen, you could talk about numbers of healings, but I asked you to share one about your daughter. Is that right?
That's right. Had a pain in her ears, and we took her to the doctors, and the doctors prescribed that we go to the hospital. We went to the hospital, and they did an examination, and they found that those toys, stickle bricks, the little things, there was a piece of stickle brick that was embedded into the ear. And so they took us in immediately, they operated, and they took out the stickle brick. Afterwards, they did the testing of her hearing, and they ran various tests. And they said to us, your child is deaf. And we said, well, we thought that they had made our child deaf in the operation. And no, it was actually nerve damage behind the drums of both ears. And so they tracked her hearing over a period of time, and it was a degenerative thing. She was a dreamy child, so if she wasn't looking directly at you, she wouldn't follow what you were saying. But it took the hospital to say, your child has learned to lip read you. And we were unaware, the school was unaware, she was at the bottom of the class of everything. And 8 years of age. So they arranged for her to be fitted with hearing aids for both ears. So that was to be done on the Monday. So on the Sunday, we brought her out to the front of the church. We got the children to come out and lay hands. And we laid hands on her and we prayed. And God opened her ears, both her ears. We took her back to the hospital. The next day, they ran all the tests. They said their hearing is absolutely perfect. And they don't write down miracles. It doesn't compute. But Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And I believe that God wants to bring an impartation of faith for people here today that feel my faith level is low. But it's not according to that. God is able to impart the gift of faith, because faith is both a fruit and a gift. And he's able to bring impartation. And you're able to rise from the level that you feel that you're currently at, and you're able to receive a gift from God. Gift of healing can be imparted and given to you today. Jesus, as Ben was just saying, is the same today as he was yesterday, and tomorrow he's going to be just the same. And so we've been privileged to see healing in, for others in our family, and some of those healings were a long time ago, but there have been healings throughout our lives. We've seen the miracle power of God. We've seen hundreds of miracles. We've seen blind people see. We've had people coming out of wheelchairs, legs growing. So many miracles. You serve a mighty God. You serve a magnificent Savior. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one who was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we ask, dream, believe, or even can imagine.
Amen. Thank you. And in our text today, the result of those miracles that Jesus performed is that people ended up praising God. And so often it is a sign when we see that our faith levels rise as a sign for people who don't know God. We're also called as well to persevere. There is an element of mystery here. The Apostle Paul describes our knowledge of God and his ways as incomplete or partial. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But in the future, we will see everything with perfect clarity. We're called to persevere then. We know we live in a broken world. And I want to play a story of a lady called Joni who's seen God move and had to persevere in prayer.
It was the summer of 1967, just a few weeks after my high school graduation, when I took a random and very reckless dive into the shallow waters of the Chesapeake Bay. I remember my forehead thudded. I felt a thud against the sandy bottom, snapping my head back and crunching my fourth cervical vertebrae. I had severed my spinal cord. And back in the hospital, my doctor said, "Johnny, you are going to be paralyzed for the rest of your life without use of your hands or your legs." I said, "What? I mean, come on, I was young, athletic. I was heading off to college. This couldn't be happening. No, this isn't happening." But when the doctor's words slowly sank in, I became numb with disbelief. And with that, bitterness began to take root. And I hissed at heaven, saying, "God, I can't live like this. I will not live like this." Now, I knew I could not end my life physically, and so I was tempted to end it emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. I told my mother to pull my bedroom drapes, turn out the light, and shut the door. And there in the darkness, I laid in bed for weeks. Behind that closed door, my self-pity literally became suffocating. I mean, dark, morbid thoughts were worse than my paralysis. And so, somewhere along the line, into the dark, I whimpered, "God, if I cannot die, then please show me how to live." It was the most feeble, faint-hearted prayer I had ever offered up, but it's all it took. Immediately, God put Christian friends in my life who opened the Bible to help me, you know, show me how to live. In its pages, I discovered precious insights and powerful promises. God had not abandoned me. The Lord had a purpose. this paralysis would not last forever. And so many more promises. And over time, I have to say, I did not find all the answers to my plight. But I found the one who held all the answers. I found contentment in Jesus, the only answer that seemed to satisfy all my longings. It was around this time that a good friend, Steve Estes, shared 10 little words that literally changed my life. God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. Yeah, that's right. God permits all sorts of things he does not approve of, like how about the cross of his own dear son, Jesus? He hated what happened that day on Mount Calvary, but he permitted it to accomplish something that he loved, something that he prized even above the gruesome death of his own son. The something that he loved was salvation for a world of sinners like you and me. And so I learned to look at my spinal cord injury the exact same way. For God took no delight in my broken neck. He hates suffering. But through it, he accomplishes the lovely, quote, something that he was after. Christ in me, the hope of glory, just as it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. And when I look back on those gloomy days in my bedroom, I am reminded that there is a world of other people with disabilities, many of whom will never have the chance to leave their bedrooms. And I understand, in a way, their agony, and oh, how they need to see that Jesus is their answer too. And this is why at Johnny and Friends, we love declaring and demonstrating the good news of Jesus whenever and wherever we can. Because the plight of suffering people, it's so easy to ignore. And it is why Jesus commands us in Luke chapter 14 to, quote, invite the poor, go out and find the crippled, the lame, the blind. Do this and you will be blessed. Right there, Jesus is saying of all the people you might ignore or neglect, do not neglect people with disabilities. They need the love of Jesus in a huge way. That command in Luke chapter 14 is for me so very personal because my heart breaks. To think that the suffering that people with disabilities endure here on earth may only be a dark omen of worse suffering to come in an eternity without Jesus Christ. So, at Johnny and Friends, we tell people with disabilities that sin kills, hell is real, but God is merciful. He can save you, and Jesus is the way. Friend, countless thousands, millions of people with disabilities have yet to hear that astounding message, and I cannot bear that they are being forgotten by others. But you know, even after I'm long gone to heaven, guess what? I know that Johnny and Friends will never forget those people. Our teams will keep giving the hope-filled news that through Jesus Christ, the weak and the vulnerable can have a home in heaven, escape from hell, a purpose for living, and the power to be more than a conqueror. Whew. Yes, there are more important things in life than walking. There are more important things in life than having use of your hands. The most important thing in life is knowing that God has removed your heart of stone and given you a new heart because of his salvation. Oh, friend, help us keep giving the heart-transforming gospel of Jesus so that the world's weakest will gain a new heart in Christ. Thank you for not forgetting people like me, people with disabilities.
And so Joni's story illustrates that God always works for good. God's heart and hears, and sorry, God always hears and always does something. Prayer is not wasted. Even when we don't see the results that we're after, God hears our prayers and always moves. And so Jesus invites us to trust them, that he can use them for his glory. We may grieve over the loss of our own ability, or grieve as we walk with loved ones through illness. But we know that Jesus will deliver. Pain and death are parts of this world, but those are all overcome by Jesus in eternity. And as a quote attributed to Jonah said, he has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. And so our invitation then is to participate, to pray, and to persevere in Christ. Friends here today, great question sometimes to ask is what's not working in your life today? Where are you running or hiding from the Holy Spirit in your life? What areas of your life are you keeping from Him? What hurts have you buried and not faced? You've got to feel them for Him to be able to heal them. Over the years, as Chrissy will tell you, I've had my fair share of car issues. And some of them are due to my lack of care. When the warning lights flick on the dashboard, I'm tempted to ignore them, thinking I'll get round to that. And it's always turned out to be an expensive mistake. This year, my son Charlie got his first car. And my approach has been completely different. As soon as something is wrong with the car, I'm getting it looked at, I'm going to encourage him to do the same. Why? Because I love him and I want him to be safe and well when driving. How about you? Where are the lights flickering on your soul? Maybe it's the anger that seems to come out of nowhere. Let's not hide it. Let's bring it before the merciful healer. What relationships need fixing? I'm saying let's be honest. Let's look under the hood and find out what's going on for us. This is not just physical healing, but our mental, emotional well-being as well. So where this morning can you participate with God in your healing and wholeness? Secondly, let's remember to pray then. When I became a Christian, WWJD, that phrase, that slogan, was on bracelets and t-shirts, and it stood for, what would Jesus do? Jesus equipped his disciples to heal, to bring forth the kingdom of God. Who are those disciples today? They're you and I, followers of Christ, ordinary people. If you follow Jesus today, you have authority to pray for those around you. And Jesus calls us to be witnesses and instruments of healing in his world. And we do that by sharing the gospel, by praying for the sick and showing his love and compassion. When we consider today's verse in Matthew, our response is clear. The Holy Spirit is here inside of us. Let's be brave and pray for those around us. As we finish, I want us to imagine a church where visitors would come and God met with them and healed them. Imagine a community of people who are so committed to their own wholeness as well. And imagine a group of people who, whether or not their physical issues went away, continued to trust Jesus to work it out for them in his glory. So this morning, let's participate, let's pray, and let's persevere in God. I'm just going to invite Andy to come up and just going to lead us in a response from there.